2 Corinthians chapter number 6, I want to begin in verse number 14 where the Bible reads, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." And the title of my sermon this morning is Separate 2016. Now, the reason that it's called Separate 2016 is because I recently heard about a big giant event that's being put on called Together 2016. And this is an event that's being held in Washington, D.C., where all denominations are going to be brought together. And they're trying to have over a million so-called Christians of all denominations, of all stripes, all join together, lay down their doctrine, lay down their differences, and pretend that we're all saved. Pretend that all of us actually believe the gospel of Jesus Christ in this fake movement. The Bible does not command us to come together in 2016. The Bible commands us to come out from among them and be ye separate. Amen. Be ye separate. It ought to be called Separate 2016. Now let me read you some quotes from the website that's putting on this event. They said, first of all, "We're building towards something unprecedented," they said. Well, that's the truth. It's called the coming of the Antichrist, when all religions will be united. Well, they will all come together. We're Catholics, Protestants, Baptists, Mormons, Jehovah's false witnesses will all join together and even include the Jews and the Muslims and the Hindus. And this unprecedented thing that we're seeing is where all the religions of the world are coming together in fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Yes, it really is unprecedented to see people so willing to put aside doctrine and act like it doesn't matter. Yes, it is unprecedented to see a generation of so-called Christian preachers that will compromise everything in the Bible, everything that they claim to believe, everything that we hold dear. It's unprecedented, the apostasy. It's unprecedented, the compromise. It's unprecedented, the false doctrine that we see known as ecumenicalism, where it says, hey, we need to put aside our differences, we need to all come together. I'm constantly hearing from people who say, you know, Islam is the enemy, we must all put aside our differences and unite with all Christians against Islam. Or, hey, the Jews, we need to all unite against the Jews. You know, we need to all unite against the Sodomites, or we need to all unite against atheism. No, my friend, we need to stay by the stuff. We need to not compromise our doctrine and not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, I've got news for you this morning. I'm going to be showing you a lot of scripture and proving every point from the Bible. I've got news for you. Everyone who says that they're a Christian is not really a Christian. That's just point number one that you need to take down. Look, everyone who says that they're a Christian is not necessarily a Christian. Jesus said, many will say to me in that day. Not a few, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. And that is in the context of Matthew chapter 7, where he says, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat. Many will say that they've done lots of works in his name. Many will say that they've preached in his name. But it's not works that get you into heaven. Right. It's not prophesying in his name and doing wonderful works. No, no, no. It's faith in Jesus. Amen. And anyone who is trusting in their own works will be turned away at the door. Anyone who is trusting in their preaching and the works that they've done and the deeds that they perform will be turned away, because you must receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. It's not by works. Here's some more from the website putting on this event. July 2016, 2016 is the day when this generation lays down what divides us and lifts up Jesus who unites us. Okay, well, let me go ahead and lay down what divides us. There, I just did. I just laid down what divides us. That's what they want me to lay down, my King James Bible. Because this is what divides religions. Yep, right. This is what divides real Christians from Catholics. Yep. This is what divides Christians from Buddhists, Christians from Hindus. This is what divides those who believe in salvation by faith alone from those who are trusting a works-based salvation. This is the book that divides those who abhor idols from those who prostrate themselves and bow down and burn incense to idols. This is the thing that divides. Because the Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 12, verse 49, go ahead and turn there. You can catch up with me as I begin. I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it already be kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to send peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. Now, that's a pretty clear verse. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. He said, I came to bring division. It says in verse 52, from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Jesus is being pretty clear here that he didn't come to say, let's all get along, let's all unite, let's all sing kumbaya. No, he brought division. The Word of God is a divider. It divides people. Truth always divides between those who receive the truth and those who resist the truth. Listen to all these scriptures about Jesus bringing division. You go ahead and flip over to Matthew chapter 3. But in John 7:43, the Bible says, so there was a division among the people because of him, about Jesus. Now, you say, why is there so much division amongst the people of God, quote unquote? Why is there so much division amongst Christians? Well, it's because of him. There was a division among the people because of him. John 9:16, therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man's not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. John 10:19, there was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. These sayings cause division. Jesus himself caused division. God's word is a divider. The Bible does not teach for us to have unity with those who reject the word of God and reject the true salvation of the Bible. Let me read you some more quotes from this website. They said, we need to lay down what divides us. Okay, check. And lift up Jesus who unites us. Oh, whoops, I just laid down Jesus. I guess I'm supposed to pick him right back up again. Because Jesus is the Word. On a day of unified prayer, worship, and a call for catalytic change, we will meet on the National Mall to declare that Jesus changes everything. We're taking a stand against division. Well, you're taking a stand against Jesus if you're taking a stand against division. But you know, I think that the National Mall in Washington, D.C. is a perfect place for this gathering to take place because there's a giant satanic obelisk right there to just kind of help channel all of Satan's power for the day. And there are all kinds of pagan temples and pagan idolatry surrounding the National Mall. It's a perfect place for this to happen. Here's what it says on their website. Division is everywhere. I mean, you go to math class and and you're doing division, you know? And by the way, division is my favorite math. But division's everywhere. Okay, I'll get back to the actual website. Division is everywhere. Race, class, politics, social media, religion. Now, you see how they kind of use this game, this mind game, to try to trick you. First, they start out by laying down the race card. You know, oh, race. you know, just to try to get you, we don't want to do that. Look, I don't believe in race. The only race I see in the Bible is where he said, run the race. You know what I mean? The Bible says God has made all nations of the earth of one blood, okay? So that's like a straw man that they put down here, like, well, you know, if you're for division, you must be a vicious racist or something. When in reality, race is not relevant. It's not relevant to my life. It's not relevant to this church. You know, I don't believe that a person's skin color is any more significant than the color of their eyes or the color of their hair. It's meaningless. But they put that down, you know, race. Then number two, they say class. Class. Okay, so you're communist now. So this is a communist gathering? Class warfare? I mean, this is like the Communist Manifesto. Oh, there's a division between the classes. You know what? Jesus said, the poor you have with you always. He didn't say, hey, I'm come to eliminate poverty. We're going to get rid of class. What does class mean? Class means rich, middle class, poor. That will always exist. That has always existed. Jesus Christ did not come to change that. And to sit there and say, oh, there's a division amongst classes. You know, what are you, a communist? Put Karl Marx down and pick up the Bible, and you'll realize that that is not something that we as Christians should be seeking to eliminate. The poor are blessed in the sight of God. They don't need to be elevated and so forth to where we're all equal. This equality of class where we all have the same amount of money, yeah, they tried that in the Soviet Union, People's Republic of China, North Korea, etc. Politics. Oh, we're so divided in politics. You know why we're divided in politics? Because there are people out there who think it's politics to be against murdering babies. I mean, yeah, I guess we're going to have to be divided in politics when half of our politicians are getting up and saying it's okay to murder a newborn baby. Ah, you just said divided over politics. Yes, I'm divided over politics when one political party wants to murder babies and the other one's starting to say that we can murder babies. Well, I guess we're going to have to stand against these people. Yeah. Oh, no, no. God wants us to have unity, though. Don't get all divisive about politics. So what are they trying to say? That I'm supposed to get along with people who think it's okay to murder babies? Right. You guys are my friends. You guys are my brothers and sisters. Look, if you believe that murdering babies, and I'm talking about abortion, at any stage, I don't care what stage it's at. I don't care if it's first, second, or third trimester. If you think that it's okay to murder babies, I want you to get out of this church right now and never come back.
Amen.
Get out. I'm not going to sit there and worship God with a bunch of sick whores and evil murderers. Get out.
Right. Amen.
You're not welcome here. No baby butchers allowed. Get out.
Yeah.
Now, look, if you've made that mistake in the past and repented of it and walked in and said, hey, it's murder, you're right, Pat, then you're welcome. Because we do believe in forgiveness. But if you today think that that's okay, you don't belong here. You don't belong in any house of God. You belong in a house of prostitution. Race, class, politics, social media. What in the world? Like, oh no, we're divided on social media. What? Do I have to be friends with the whole planet on Facebook? There's a 5,000 friend limit, folks. I'm already maxed out. Oh man, there's division on Facebook. I'm maxed out at 5,000. What in the world? Stupidity. So then they throw these weird things at you that make no sense. Race. Good night. Aren't we past that in 2016, America? Look around the church. Does this look like a church of white supremacists to you? Look around. Look around. There are Asians, black, Indians, Hispanic. Everybody's represented here. White, black, red, yellow. Who cares? Does anybody care this morning? Because I don't care. Does it bother anybody? No. But they want to keep just like fomenting that or stirring that pot and trying to use that as a mind control tool through the media to try to get people all stirred up about this or stirred up about that, instead of being stirred up about Jesus and the Word of God and doctrine. So they come at you with these stupid things that don't make sense. Race division, class division, politics division, social media division. And then they get to the real end game, religious division. Well, yeah, there has to be a division between religions, friend. Because we don't all worship the same God. We don't all have the same Jesus. We don't all have the same Bible. We don't all have the same doctrine. The millennial generation is the most cause-driven in history. But our causes put us at odds and we create enemies of each other. The church is paying a price. Young people associate faith with arguing and politicking. The message that Jesus loves us and offers a reset is getting lost in the noise. Jesus directly challenged a culture of division. Now let's see if that's really true, that Jesus directly challenged a culture of division. Look at your Bible there in Matthew chapter number 3. And you dare not be offended by my sermon this morning, because I'm preaching what the Bible says. The Bible says to separate from unbelievers. The Bible says that many who claim the name of Christ are false brethren who say, Lord, Lord, but they are not actually saved. The Bible is the one that said we should have nothing to do with those who practice idolatry. The Bible is the one who said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. But look at Matthew chapter 3. Let's look at the forerunner of Jesus Christ, and let's see if he challenged a culture of division. Matthew chapter number 3, verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, and let me just stop right there and say, the Pharisees and the Sadducees are very divided. These are people who did not agree with one another. These are the two major denominations of Christ's day. The two big phony denominations were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So when he saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, did he rebuke them and say, you guys need to be united. You guys need to come together. We need to all put aside our differences because we all worship Jehovah. We're all doing an animal sacrifice here. You know, we all believe in the Old Testament, the books of Moses. We need to put aside our differences and join together. So what that the Sadducees don't believe in the afterlife? That they don't believe in heaven and hell, that they don't believe in a resurrection. So what if the Sadducees, you know, don't believe in angels? Just bring them in, Pharisees. Come on, bring them in. Is that what he said? No, this is what he says to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He basically tells them you're both wrong. He doesn't sit there and say, let's all unite. He said unto them, O generation of vipers. It always blows my mind when people say, if you call names, you're not Christ-like. Well, what's vipers there if it's not calling somebody a name? I could show you where Jesus called people fools, vipers, foxes, serpents, whited sepulchers, hypocrites. All go down the list. It says, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. He says, you're going to hell. He didn't say, let's put aside our differences and just worship the Lord together and pray because, you know, our Roman nation needs help now because they're seeing us Jews as divided. We need to all come together. There's no message like that in the New Testament. Christ didn't say anything like that. John the Baptist never preached anything like that. This is all false doctrine. Now, the guy who's organizing this event, this Together 2016 event, his name is Nick Hull. And here's an article about Nick Hull when he just found out the exciting news that in this Together 2016 event that's uniting all denominations of Christianity, that His Holiness the Pope has decided to be a part of it now. Pope Francis has involved, he's going to basically do a video message. He's going to do it by video feed. He's going to pre-record a video that they're going to play. So basically, let's get all of the evangelical Christians all together to hear their favorite Christian rock band. Let's all get them there, and then let's play them a message from the Antichrist, the Pope. That's what they're doing, folks. They're playing a video of Pope Francis. You say, well, who's going to be involved in this event? Oh, just the entire Southern Baptist Convention. Yeah, right. The Southern Baptist Convention as a whole has decided that they are going to participate in this event. In fact, here is a letter from the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, encouraging all of their churches to attend, putting their official stamp of approval on an event where everybody gets together and watches a video of Pope Francis. Listen to me. If you go to a Southern Baptist church, you need to get right with God. And if you know people that are in a Southern Baptist church, you need to tell those people, hey, if your church is a real scriptural church, they need to pull out of the Southern Baptist Convention and become an independent Baptist church. Because the Southern Baptist Convention is part of an event where we all get together and watch a video from the Pope, from Pope Francis, the Antichrist. Here's the letter from the Southern Baptist president. Together 16 is a gathering to be held on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. People from all backgrounds will gather, uniting around Jesus Christ and his hope for America and the world. It's ignited by the fires of hell. Yeah. They say, it's ignited by the vision of Nick Hall and shared by some of America's greatest leaders. We will experience one of the most exciting moments in our lives. Please join us on Saturday, July 16, 2016. In 1997, Promise Creepers held their Stand in the Gap rally on the National Mall. I had the privilege to speak to over 1.3 million men who attended from all over America. It was one of the greatest moments of my life. Unquestionably, the scene of a sea of men gathered to experience the Lord together was epic. Now is the time for another million or more people from our generations to come together on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., a gathering of people from all backgrounds. Yeah, you already said that. You keep saying all backgrounds. These people aren't all from all backgrounds. They're from present grounds. They're still Catholic. They're still Presbyterian. They're still Mormons. They're still Pentecostal Charismatics. They're still Methodist. They don't have different backgrounds, fool. They have different religions than what we have. A different religion. Yeah. But he keeps repeating the word background. And every ethnicity. See how they just love to put down that race card? Totally not relevant, but they bring up, ethnicity. I want to know, what Baptist church in the whole state of Arizona, I don't even know of a Baptist church in the United States that only allows white people. Oh, we're doing something radical because we're allowing people of every ethnicity. Yeah, every church in America allows people of every ethnicity. Newsflash, even the Mormons who hate black people allow black people. They still allow black. Everybody does. But they just, every ethnicity is invited. Oh, thanks for stating the obvious. But they try to use that as a smokescreen, like it's the same thing. Like inviting all ethnicities is the same as inviting all faiths, all religions. No, it's not the same. Because ethnicity doesn't matter. Your faith does matter. Your religion does matter. And that's your personal choice, by the way. Oh, our greatest need in America is for the next great spiritual awakening to occur. Okay, I hope people wake up right now to the fact that the Pope is an Antichrist. Right. Everybody awake now? Yeah, we need a spiritual awakening that the Southern Baptists are a false denomination that is pointing people to the Pope. You say, you're a liar. Okay, well, come see the letter after service. It's signed by him right here. Anybody who is a part of a Southern Baptist church needs to demand that their pastor pull out of that thing. No, you know, it's false. Yeah, right. This is what Nick Hall said in an article, adding his name to the lineup of prominent guest speakers and musicians is Pope Francis, who will deliver a video message addressing the crowd. We're humbled and honored by his involvement. This is what the founder of this event says. The guy who the Southern Baptist president's praising. Ignited by the passion of Nick Hall. Nick Hall says, we're humbled and honored by his involvement and are eager to share his message with the crowd that gathers. I mean, he's just salivating over, I just can't wait for everybody to see the message that Pope Francis is delivering to the crowd. His holiness himself. Look, where's the line to kiss his big toe? Maybe we can do it by video. Maybe we can just put a big video of the Pope's big toe and we can all go kiss it. Maybe that'll get us some time out of purgatory. You say, well, you're crazy. You're crazy. If you think that this is of God and that it's not of the Antichrist. He says, oh man, I'm so eager. Ugh, I'm just so eager to share his message with the crowd that gathers at Together 2016. Hall said in a statement to the Christian Post, reacting to the announcement that the Pope will add his name to the list of speakers, that his holiness, more like his demonicness, that his holiness would choose to speak into this historic day is a testament to the urgency and the need for the followers of Jesus to unite in prayer for our nation and our world. Hall, a college pastor, came up with the radical idea of uniting pastors and Christian leaders from all denominations. No, you didn't come up with that. That's been around for a long time. That's not radical. That's what every president of the United States for the last several decades has promoted, ecumenicalism. No, that's not radical. That's actually mainstream Christianity today, ecumenical. You say, what does ecumenicalism mean? All joined together with all faiths, all denominations, all beliefs, put aside doctrine. Hey, you believe in a guy named Jesus? Okay, that's all you need. Come on in. Join the church. Oh, it's such a radical idea. But they always, all over this website, they use all kinds of language to make it sound like it's real edgy and trendy. We're millennials, man. We're millennials. We're radical. We're countercultural. How can you be countercultural by being ecumenical when the culture in America has been ecumenical for a few decades now? Oh, man, we're rebels, man. That's why we can snap our fingers and get a million of us to show up. Because we're rebels. That's why the Southern Baptist president's with us. Because we're rebels, man. His holiness, the Pope's a rebel, man. He's radical, dude. Hall, a college pastor, came up with the radical idea of uniting pastors and Christian leaders from all denominational backgrounds to join 1 million people at the free event in hopes of inspiring true revival in America. Over 40 well-known speakers, recording artists, authors, and leaders from various backgrounds will be featured at Together 2016, unified in prayer and worship. More than 1,000 churches nationwide have already pledged to attend, and there will be 8,000 service opportunities within a 100-mile radius of Washington, D.C. during the week, blah, blah, blah. Now, let me just give you the list of who's going to be there so you can know who is a false teacher, who you should never have anything to do with. These are all the people that want you to unite with unbelievers and idolaters like Pope Francis. These are all the people who want to put you in a big crowd with a sea of people who all believe different things and everybody watch a video message from Pope Francis. Here are the frauds of our day. Here are the false teachers of our day called out by name because of the fact that the New Testament gives numerous examples where men like Hymenaeus, Alexander, Hermogenes, Philetus were called out as false prophets. He said, hey, watch out for these guys. This is the list of who we should just take it to the bank. These people are of the spirit of Antichrist. Because they're ecumenical people who are bringing us to hear from Pope Francis. And you'll know some of these names. Let's start with the teachers and preachers on this list. First of all, Ravi Zacharias. Who's ever heard of him? Oh, he's promoting it. He'll be there. The apostate that he is. How about... let me get my list here. Francis Chan. He'll be there. Luis Palau. Josh McDowell. Jenny Allen. Christine Kane. These are the speakers at this event, the teachers and preachers. Christine Kane. York Moore. Pastor John K. Jenkins Sr. Reverend Sammy Rodriguez. Ronnie Floyd, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Reed Saunders. Bob Lenz. Jose Zayas. Joe Saxton, Nabil Qureshi, Josh Brewer, Mark Batterson, Mike Kelsey, Laurel Bunker, who's a woman pastor, the campus pastor at Bethel University, Laurel Bunker, Sammy Wanyonyi, Lindsay Nobles, Amina Brown, and Ask Vasca. But let me move on to the musicians that are going to be performing at this thing so you can know which Antichrist musicians to avoid in your CD player. So you can know which Antichrist musicians to avoid on YouTube and on other venues where you listen to this Christian contemporary music, which for the most part is effeminate and queer in nature. And by the way, the Bible does not only teach that sodomy is a sin. It clearly teaches that effeminacy itself is a sin. The Bible says the effeminate shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's just the ones who act feminine as men. These are the musicians to be avoided like the plague. These are the ones that you need to get out of your stereo system if you think that these are Christian people that are teaching and admonishing you in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's time to get rid of Hillsong United. It's time to get rid of Lecrae. Time to get rid of Kari Job. Time to get rid of Crowder. Time to get rid of Passion. Time to get rid of Andy Mineo, Kirk Franklin, Matthew West, Lacey Storm, Casting Crowns, Lauren Daigle, Tadashi, Tasha Cobbs, Trip Lee, Jeremy Camp, Michael W. Smith, Matt Maher, and the Christian rapper K to the B. Now look, who's heard of some of those musicians? Put up your hand. Hands all over the building. Look at all the hands. This is the junk today that young people are filling their minds with. These musicians are part of an antichrist ecumenical gathering that's not called, hey, separate 2016. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Hey, take a stand for Jesus. Take a stand for the Bible. Take a stand for the gospel. Take a stand for the eternal security of the believer. Take a stand for sola scriptura, scripture alone. Take a stand for faith alone. Take a stand for the deity of Jesus Christ. Take a stand for the doctrine of the Trinity. Take a stand for soul winning. No. It's just put all that aside. And it's just. These people need to be avoided like the plague. Let's focus in on a few of these false teachers and give a little more detail about how bad these people are. Let's start with Ravi Zacharias. And I've had people come up to me in my personal life around the Phoenix area and say, oh man, you need to start listening to Ravi Zacharias. This guy's a powerful teacher of God's word. Who's heard of this guy? Oh man, you know, you need to start listening to this guy. Okay. Well, let's look up Ravi Zacharias. First of all, I went to his website and I went to the Statement of Faith. Here's a quote from the Statement of Faith. And if you don't believe me, here's the web URL, rzim.org. That's his official website. /about/vision. Direct quote. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Okay, in February of 2014, Ravi Zacharias went to Salt Lake City and was the first evangelical preacher to preach in the Mormon Tabernacle in over 100 years. The only evangelical preacher that was invited to preach in the Mormon Tabernacle in over 100 years. Here's what he boldly stated. And so, what brings us together? As has already been said, yes, we have our theological differences, but I think it's commendable that we find a common cause in trying to create a good moral soil in this culture and in this time. Well, yeah, we have some differences, but you know what? Isn't it great how we can come together on certain things? Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll keep reading. This is from the Deseret News. This is from the Mormons news source. The fact that the LDS Church opened its signature pulpit to Zacharias, the first such invitation in more than a century, has had some in both faith camps talking about the motives of Standing Together Ministries and the Richard L. Evans Chair of Religious Understanding at Brigham Young University, who organized the event. And by the way, you know why it's called Brigham Young University? Because they asked Joseph Smith how many more wives he wanted. He said, Brigham Young. That's pretty, you know, that's where that thing got its name. But anyway, you say that's not funny. Yeah, I know it's not funny that there are a bunch of pedophiles in the Mormon church and that they're a bunch of polygamous pedophiles. Zacharias shared the dais with both evangelical preachers and Latter-day Saint scholars and moved widely beyond the pulpit. Well, he's so bold, he moves away from the pulpit. You know, he doesn't just stay behind the pulpit. This guy's an animal. He moved beyond the pulpit as he weaved biblical parables with modern tales of those who encounter Christ and recognize truth, often in the context of major human heartache and suffering that no political maneuvering can solve. He spoke of the exclusivity and sufficiency of Jesus Christ, noting that he exerted an exclusive truth claim in his declaration as the way, the truth, and the life. While he acknowledged that the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints differ in many of their views from historic Christianity, you know, just little things like they think that you're going to be a god of your own planet someday, just little things like that there's, you know, all kinds of other gods and other life on other planets, and so, you know, it's not a big deal, though. But he emphasized much of what they share in reverence for a being that both consider the divine savior of mankind. Let me tell you something. The Mormons have a different being that they consider the divine savior of mankind. Look down at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and tell me if we should say, well, even though there's theological differences with the Mormons, we have a lot in common. The Bible says in verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? You know what the Bible's saying there? We don't have any fellowship with unbelievers. And fellowship means what we have in common. So we can't look to a false religion and say, hey, let's find common ground. We should just say there is no common ground. You don't believe in the Jesus Christ of the Bible. We have to separate from you. We got to come out from among them and be separate. What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And on and on. Flip over, if you would, to 2 John, the book of 2 John, toward the very end of the New Testament. Let me read for you more from the Deseret News article about Ravi Zacharias coming to speak. Taking the pulpit to speak of the event's historic nature, so this is the guy who introduces Dr. Zacharias, Fuller Theological Seminary President Richard Meow addressed a capacity crowd of several thousand, offering a stunningly candid apology to members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and noting that friendship has not come easily between our two communities. He dubbed the event historic and apologized that evangelicals have often misrepresented the faith and beliefs of the Latter-day Saints. So this guy from Fuller Seminary is going and apologizing to the Mormons. Oh, we're so sorry. I'm so glad we can be friends now. It hadn't been easy, but we're finally friends. The Bible says, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You can't be a friend of the world and be a friend of God. If you're a friend of the world, you're the enemy of God. No, we can't have friendship between Christianity and a cult. A cult. Call it what it is. It's a cult. It always has been a cult. It always will be a cult. I don't care how you try to dress up the Mormons or the Seventh-day Adventists or the Jehovah's False Witnesses. They're cults. They all started in the 1800s. They all came out of the same movement, and they're all cults. But listen to this. He says this. Let me state it clearly. We evangelicals have sinned against you. He added that both camps have tended to marginalize and simplify the other's beliefs. Historical animosity dating back to the founding of the LDS Church by Joseph Smith in the 1830s has heightened in recent years between the two groups, particularly in the 1990s, when several high-profile evangelical leaders asserted that Mormons are not Christians. Look, that is still where I stand and where every Bible-believing Christian that I've ever talked to stands. The only people I've ever had say to me, Mormons are Christians too, were unsaved. They did not believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, at the end of his sermon, he goes and speaks this watered-down, talking about what they agree on sermon at the Mormon Tabernacle. At the end of his sermon, he says, thank you and God bless you. And then there's a huge round of applause where all the Mormons break out in applause. Why? Because he didn't get up and rip face. See, look, if the Mormon Tabernacle said, Pastor Ashley, we want you to come speak, I'd say, sure. And I'd get up and say, hey, Joseph Smith's a pedophile. Hey, you know, you're worshiping other gods and other planets. But it would never happen. You say, well, you know, but the Apostle Paul, he tried to, you know, appeal to people on their level. Yeah, when he was on Mars Hill with the pagans, here's what he said. He said, you're too superstitious. Yeah. Yeah. You are ignorant, he said. I'm going to show you the real God. Yeah. Now, that's what's missing here. Okay, the actual rebuke where he says, well, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Translation, stop being a pagan. Stop worshiping idols. Stop being a Mormon. Hey, you're all going to go to hell if you don't leave this cult. Is that what he said? No, he said, God bless you. Look at 2 John verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now, let me tell you something. When you're teaching that Jesus Christ is not the same as God the Father, in the sense that they're both one God in three in one, it says in 1 John 5, 7. If you're going to sit there and say that there are actually a multiplicity of gods, and Jesus is one of them, and the Father, which they call Elohim, transliterated from the Hebrew. If you're going to sit there and say, well, there's Elohim and then there's Jesus, they're two totally separate, and then there's all these other gods too, millions and billions of gods, you've transgressed. You're not abiding in the doctrine of Christ at that point anymore. When you're teaching that salvation is by works, as the Mormons teach, you're not in the doctrine of Christ anymore. He says, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. That's why you should never allow the Mormons into your home. When they come to your door and they're not bringing the true doctrine of Christ, you do not invite them into your home and you do not bid them Godspeed. And you know what Godspeed means? God bless you. And he gets up and he said, God bless you. Thank you. Gets a big round of applause because you're always going to have the world applaud you when you do that which is wrong. So he gets up and says, God bless you. What is the consequence of Ravi Zacharias standing before a body of Mormons and saying, God bless you? The result of that is that now he is responsible for the evils of the Mormon church. He is responsible for all the lies that they tell. He is held responsible. God just took the sins of Mormonism and he just put it on Ravi Zacharias' account and said, you will pay for these. Look, Ravi Zacharias does not believe in the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Ravi Zacharias, the false teacher. So he was already going to hell before he even set foot in the Mormon tabernacle. But you know what? His punishment in hell just got a little worse. It just got a little hotter because he just picked up all the sins of Joseph Smith now by blessing it. Because the Bible says, he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Zacharias also spoke favorably of Roman Catholic mystic Henry Nguyen, calling him one of the greatest saints in recent memory. Zacharias also called Joyce Meyer a great Bible teacher. He went on her show and said, oh, you're such a great Bible teacher. You can watch the video of him saying it. Who else? Luis Palau. I already did a sermon exposing him years ago when he came to Tempe and brought this ecumenical garbage. Jenny Allen is one of the speakers. I went to her website, Jenny Allen and Lindsay Nobles of the IF Gathering, and I looked at their doctrinal statement. Their doctrinal statement contained these words, we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. And, you know, I looked at the Bible scriptures on the website, and it was the Message. Is not even close to being the Bible. Dramatic paraphrase. It doesn't even come close to being what the original says. How about Francis Chan? Well, Francis Chan, I got to find him in my notes here. He is a hardcore, what's called lordship salvationist. He believes in lordship salvation, meaning that if you don't make Jesus the Lord of your life, you're not saved. He said there's no such thing as a lukewarm Christian. Because any Christian who's lukewarm will lose their salvation. And he, of course, misquotes and misconstrues the part where he talks about, I would you were cold or hot or I'll spew you out of my mouth. So he denies the eternal security of the believer. When he's asked about grace, because obviously grace means that we're saved through his righteousness, not through our own. You know, we don't have to be righteous or do good works to be saved. All we have to do is believe in Jesus Christ and we're saved by his grace. Grace means when you get something you don't deserve. Grace is when it's just given to you for free. You know, when he was asked about, well, what about grace? Here's what he said to that. He said, grace is just when God gives us the power to change. And then when we change and change our life, you know, then we're saved. So again, it all comes back to you changing, you doing works, you living right, you getting on fire for God. So he's one of these that's like a Paul Washer going around telling everybody you're not saved because you're not fired up enough. you're lukewarm or whatever. Well, you know, Francis Chan, you seem kind of lukewarm because you're going to an ecumenical gathering with Pope Francis. And with a bunch of Christian rock bands who one of them next week is going to come out of the closet, I'm sure. And you know what? Look, just last week, some big, giant, famous rock star from the Christian CCM world just came out as a sodomite. And just look at the pictures of these other bands and you'll see that they're going to be coming out of the closet any day now. What if Francis Chan, as he preaches the non-inspired version, also known as the NIV. Francis Chan, as he teaches Lordship Salvation. Okay, who else is going to be at this event? How about Hillsong? It ought to be called Hellsong.
Yeah.
Hillsong is both a church and a music band or a music movement. And I believe they're going to be there performing music. I'm not sure if they're going to be speaking or not. But you know what? We actually learn things more through music sometimes than we even learn through the spoken word. I mean, every single advertising jingle from the 80s, I could sing it to you right now. Because that stuff gets stuck in your head, right? Well, Hellsong is going to be at this pro-Catholic, pro-universalist, pro-ecumenical gathering. This is the same church that says on their website, we believe that in order to receive forgiveness and the new birth, we must repent of our sins. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and submit to his will for our lives. So they're adding works. You got to submit to his will. You got to turn away from your sins. Believing's not enough. And I guess God's will for their life was recently at Hillsong's New York gathering. The youth pastor of Hillsong stripped off all his clothes and came on the platform with a guitar covering himself because he was trying to impersonate a New York celebrity called the Naked Cowboy. So he went out on stage in his underwear, okay? But he covers it with a guitar so that it gives the perception that he's fully naked. He went on as the Naked Cowboy. And at Hill, I mean, if you just look at this Hillsong thing, it's like it looks like the most demonic, satanic. They're like waving, like you look at their Hillsong service, they're like waving American flags. There's a guy covering himself with nothing but a guitar. There's all these other freaks dancing around and acting like animals. I mean, honestly, I think even Aaron would have blushed. You know, I think even the children of Israel in Exodus 32 that were worshiping the golden calf would have said like, whoa, buddy, this is over the top. And yet I see Christians defending this garbage all the time. There's division on social media. Yeah, because when you're liking Hillsong, you're getting deleted from the friend list.
Yeah.
How can I be friends with somebody who's into Hillsong? It's of hell. It's of the devil.
Yeah.
It's a works-based salvation, and they just hold these bizarre rock concerts all over America, weirder than a rock concert. When I was a teenager, you know, I shouldn't have, but I went to a bunch of rock concerts as a teenager. Hillsong was worse than any rock concert I've ever been to. I never saw anything like that at a rock concert. And there's bad stuff. But the point is, though, that this is what we're talking about here with ecumenicalism. This is what Billy Graham's all about. This is what Luis Palau's all about. And you think that this is okay? Then, you know what? I question your salvation. There, I said it. You think that Mormons and Catholics, we should all unite with them? Are you even saved? I question whether you're even saved. If you don't even understand that salvation is only for people who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, not for people who bow down to statues, not for people who work their way to heaven or turn over a new leaf or get in a 12-step program to be saved. I mean, the Bible is crystal clear about Mormons that they should not be blessed, but rather they should be accursed. Because the Bible says, if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. And then they say, oh, God bless you, to the leaders of Mormonism, to the architects of Mormonism. And you know why the Mormons brought in, and go if you would to 2 Corinthians 11, I'll tell you exactly why the Mormons brought in Ravi Zacharias. It's because the Mormons are constantly trying to prove that they're not a cult, and they're constantly trying to prove that they are like other Christians. Hey, we're just like you, we're also Christians. So by bringing in a big name like Ravi Zacharias, it just gives them credibility. with their people, like, see, the evangelicals recognize us. And it made me sick to see as the Mitt Romney campaign took place a few years ago. Remember that? Yeah. Mitt Romney, the devout Mormon, was lifted up by evangelical Christians, and many said, he's a Christian. And many people will unite with Glenn Beck and say, he's a Christian. No, Glenn Beck is a Mormon. Mitt Romney is a Mormon. That is not Christianity. You say, well, I'm never coming back. Well, just open the phone book and look under Southern Baptist, and maybe you'll find a church that you like. I believe that every independent Baptist church in this whole state would agree with what I just preached this morning. They wouldn't have maybe had the guts necessarily to say it as clearly as I did, but I promise you that virtually, if not every independent Baptist, there are about 85 independent Baptist churches in Arizona, every single one of them would agree with what I preached this morning. So you're going to have to, if you don't like this kind of teaching, if you don't like this doctrine, if you don't like this sermon, you probably need to go to the Southern Baptist section of the phone book to find something that you like. Because you can go there and they'll serve you communion with popcorn and soda pop. And they'll tell you, you know, that you can go to this event and listen to a video from the Pope. Okay, but we're actually a Bible-believing Baptist church here. We are actually independent Baptist. We don't have allegiance to that president over there that promotes this garbage. But let me just close on this one point. Many people would say to this, well, Pastor Anderson, you've got it all wrong. Your slogan, Separate 2016, is actually a misguided slogan because of the fact that that's telling us to separate from people that are just completely non-Christian. These people are Christians, Pastor Anderson. Just because they don't cross the T and dot the I, they're still Christians. That's what some people would say. And I already mentioned this earlier in the message, but here's more proof. Look at 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we've not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. You see, the ecumenical crowd will love to quote scriptures about unity and about how there's one spirit. One spirit. But here's the thing. There's only one spirit that's of God, is what the Bible's saying there. Right. When the Bible says there's only one spirit, it's not saying that there's only one period. It's saying there's only one that's of God. Because there are also unclean spirits, and there are lots of them. I mean, look, are you going to deny the existence of unclean spirits? Remember Jesus casting out the unclean spirits? What does the Bible say here? If he that cometh preacheth another Jesus. So there's the Jesus of the Bible, then there's another Jesus, and Mormonism has another Jesus. Yeah. Roman Catholicism has another Jesus. Yeah. Or if you receive another spirit. Now, is it possible that in the process of going to a church that's preaching another Jesus, you might receive another spirit? He says it's possible. He said, in fact, I'm afraid that it could happen. He's saying, I know that when people go and hear preaching of another Jesus, they are receiving another spirit. Look, if it's not the Spirit of God, because there's only one Spirit of God, friend. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one spirit. Okay, I get that, but you know what? You can receive an unclean spirit at an event like this. Together 2016, you can receive an unclean spirit. I mean, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of Pope Francis. And I'm just, you know, I'm kidding, of course. But I'm quoting, you know, I'm paraphrasing Revelation 16. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of Pope Francis. And out of the mouth of Francis Chan. And out of the mouth of Ravi Zacharias. And they're the spirits of devils. Working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth to gather them together to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. You know, spirits, evil spirits, my friend, unclean spirits, coming out of the mouth of who? The false prophet. The Antichrist. Isn't that what it said? I'll quote the real verse. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And you know what? These speakers, every single one of them is a false prophet. I already read the list. They're all false prophets. Yep. or they wouldn't be promoting the Pope. They wouldn't be. And they might say, well, I'm not, you know, promoting the Pope. I'm just, just taking this opportunity to get my message across. Your message is the same as the Pope's message. And that's why you're at the same event. That's why the same guy invited you. And you know what? Silence is agreement. My mom taught me this when I was a little boy, and I've heard it my whole life. It's biblical as well. Silence is agreement. You know, you're showing up and you're on the platform with all these apostates. Birds of a feather flock together. Water seeks its own level, my friend. You can tell a man who boozes by the company he chooses. One last scripture, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And notice in Galatians 1, when he said, let them be accursed, he said, I marvel that you turn to another gospel, but he says, it's not another, but there be some among you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. So notice, the other gospel that he warns about is a gospel of Christ, but it's another Christ. It's another gospel. Look, here's a three-point. You guys who are learning how to preach, I got a great outline for you. This is a great preaching outline, okay? Point number one, another Jesus. Point number two, another gospel. Point number three, another spirit. There you go. Preach that. That's a great sermon right there for another day. I'll leave it to one of you guys to put that thing together. But the last place I want to show you is 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. This is not saying to only separate from people who don't claim the name of Christ. Even a brother who walks disorderly, he didn't say, I suggest you withdraw yourselves. He said, I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you withdraw yourself from every brother that does not walk after the tradition that he received from us, the apostles. And then later in the same scripture, he says that if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him. Think about that. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him. But then they say, oh, but go to the mall with him, the National Mall, and stand in front of a big 666 foot, you know, what is it, 555 feet above the ground and 111 feet under the ground, the big 666 obelisk in D.C., surrounded by idols, surrounded by wickedness, and join together and unite with them? That's not what the Bible says, my friend. We are living in the last days. We're living in perilous times. We as God's people need to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We as God's people need to understand that there is a great falling away, and it's here. It's happening right now. Yeah. Jesus Christ made it very clear that before his second coming, there would be a great falling away. And that is what we are seeing right now. It's unprecedented. Of course it's unprecedented. Because it's reserved for the end times. And we need to stay separate, my friend. Separation, division, these are good words, but they're turned into bad words by people who don't understand the teachings of the Bible. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for our church. And we thank you that our church is independent, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we aren't having some meeting right now where sweat is pouring off of our faces, where we're actually wondering, what are we going to do because the Southern Baptist Convention is controlling our finances and they're promoting a video by the Pope. Lord, thank you that we're independent Baptists, Lord. And God, I pray that every true believer that is in the Southern Baptist movement would come out of it and be separate. I pray that every babe in Christ who could possibly be hoodwinked into going into this godless antichrist event would be warned and stay away from that thing and not touch it with a 10-foot pole, Lord. Help us to take a hard stand on the key doctrines of the faith and not to join hands with the ungodly false prophets of our day. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Wow, we broke the record again. All right, how many do we have this morning?
248.
248 in church this morning. Praise the Lord. What was our old record?
237.
Was it 239, I think it was. So we went from 239. Our new record is 248. still separate, still preaching hard, still zero compromise, still growing, still winning souls, still getting people saved, still doing a big work for God without holding hands with the Presbyterians across the street. Let's go ahead and sing another song.